North South Connection proudly presents TNA Never Dies. Now, cross the line with your hosts, Aaron, Jenny, and JT.
Right away, we're recapping, obviously, all right? This whole business of Jeff Jarrett saying, I was never with you, and I never will be with you. And then Jarrett calls Vince Russo a Yankee, and we get a beatdown. But Jeff Jarrett was with Russo, wasn't he, at some point?
No, I think he tried to fake him out at one point, make him think he was going with him, and then he didn't.
Yeah, he never has here. I mean, they've been buddies in the past, as we'll talk about. But
that's what I mean, because like the whole thing is based on their relationship, but here he is saying, I was never with you.
Well, I think he means in TNA, he's never with him.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Then someone yells, evolution is the solution, which you should probably never.
Evolution is a mystery.
Yeah, right? You shouldn't yell that in a serious vein. Evolution is the solution. And then they show Jarrett calling him a Yankee son of a bitch twice in 35 seconds, as though it's the greatest thing anyone has ever said. Right away, we're
spoken
moving.
Spoken like a Yankee son of a bitch.
Tell you what, I'm even higher than a Yankee. It's January 15th, 2003. We're starting off with Urban Mike sitting down with Vince Russo. Jenny, what kind of gang would both of these leather jacket dress guys be in?
Dad Bod Gang.
Dad
Bod. The Van Buren Boys.
The Whistle Pig Express.
The bottom of Mike Tenay's shoes are fucking filthy. Like,
he's walking around these fucking fairgrounds. What do you want?
But like all this trash that Russo brought in, he's walking all over it every day.
Someone pan up from his shoes for Christ's sake. Tenay wants
Mike means business though in this interview, sir.
Pardon me?
He means business.
He always
has some tough questions.
Oh, man. The first question, what is the role of a wrestling TV writer?
My job as a writer is to ensure that many eyes watch as possible today and do you whatever I got to do to get there. The writer's got a lot to do with the success and the failure and says, I says the sport is based on wrestling, but things need to evolve. And someday, Dene, you'll get that.
Yeah. JT, is he right? Is that the role of a wrestling writer?
I think the role of a wrestling writer is just to write good wrestling.
Yeah. Like, he's got a lot of balls saying this when,
yeah,
like, WCW absolutely tanked with him as the writer.
Listen, I only wrote TV for 9 months.
And then,
you know what? If the company that was open for 15 years died in that 9 months, it deserved to die.
Tanay, while he's talking to him, is like he's sticking his chin out like so far, like he's like a low rent Sergeant Slaughter. Like the chin is pointed. Jenny, how quickly would Serpentor dismantle Mike Tanay?
About 3 seconds.
3 seconds. He'd hit him with one of those snake spears, wouldn't he?
For sure.
Would he yell, "This I command"?
Yes.
Yes.
I was brought in because business was in the shitter. I was the most successful writer in the history of the business.
Is it strange to either one of you that Tanay has like a stack of papers in his hands but doesn't refer to them once?
Just in case he needs them.
He has that shit burned into his memory. He knows exactly what he wants to say.
People want entertainment. If they want Lucha Libres, they can go to Japan and Mexico. No one's entertained by people jumping for 40 minutes, Tanay.
I'm glad you mentioned Lucha Libras, because I've never heard anyone say it like that before.
The world title's a prop. David Arquette was a publicity stunt. USA Today had the picture. Wouldn't have happened if DDP won.
And, like, this whole frame is so strange, because, like, Tanay is, like, demanding that is he responsible for the demise of WCW? Like, it's just so fucking bizarre. Like, I
sold my soul for one day in USA Today today.
And in the midst of this USA Today talk, he goes, "You're entertained, Mike, but you don't mean shit." And Tanay opens his mouth like a King Hippo, like when he gets punched in the stomach. Like he's like you could drive.
You're full of shit. I don't believe nothing till you see the numbers. That was the only time USA Today covered it.
Yeah, and it's such a weird argument because right after the USA Today stuff happened, ratings plummeted even more.
No one even watched DNA until sex showed up. And now they're turning people away. DNA, sex is everything you want. It's everything you need. It's everything inside of you that you wish you could be. Sex is all the right things at exactly the right time. Sex don't mean nothing to you and you don't know why.
Also, our
some ways speaking.
We can
November 20th was an amazing night. Incredible heat. There were 100 people in the building and that was packed. Calling for Russo and sex. And I'm doing this for the good of DNA. I'm a man with a heart and soul. Two boys sitting at home. I want them to make a living in the business, but it needs to survive. They listen to DNA and NWA and WWE. There'll be no business a year from now.
If he's not the big writer, there'll be no business a year from now.
DNA will be kissing my ass at the end.
Jenny, could he have said anything more false than that?
No. But it was amazing that he is the savior of the entire sport.
I'll tell you, he at least believes it.
He does.
Yeah.
Living the gimmick.
Costanza.
Also, why are Mike Tenay's pants so short at the bottom? Like, do you think he had a growth spurt? Like,
those pants are from 15 years old.
And then he finishes with a big kiss my big ass, Mike. What do we think of this opening interview?
I actually thought it was one of Russo's better ones. It felt a little more real and raw and honest. He felt more connected because I think this is shit. Well, you know, in his mind, again, it's not a lie if you believe it, right? Like I think he's speaking honestly. I think this is him answering all the shit he's heard, and rightfully so. For 2 years, right? Like, it's him defending his case that he hasn't really gotten to do on a setting like this, so.
Yes, I agree with that. He just gets away with himself, right? And it's just all the hostility from Tanay just makes him so defensive, and he just goes wild and grandiose with him, just loses his shit. It was amazing.
I feel like Tanay, I think anybody on that roster could beat the shit out of Mike Tanay.
Yeah.
Including Vince Russo.
And Don West.
Oh, Don West would go crazy on his ass.
Yeah, I'd say Tanay's the biggest cuck on the show for sure.
I'm not going to fight you. I'm wearing a tuxedo. All right, we get the tradition music. The guy's fucking. It's all there. We cut right away to Blueberry West and Slick Mike Tanay in his tux. And, of course, Vince Russo's out immediately.
God, I know.
And what is with the fucking ice cream truck bell to start his music?
Yeah, it's an odd song. It's an odd, yeah. I don't get why they did that for a hook to the song. Did you guys notice the new color scheme and logo? It's got kind of the red now, and it's a little more like sharper looking versus the blocky yellow, which yeah. I think it actually looks a little more professional now. This look, I think it's much better.
Why didn't they do that after he destroyed the set?
Yeah, I don't know.
They waited a week.
We're going to rebuild the old set and then build a new set.
We'll show him.
That's what I'm talking about, Danae. Stupid.
It was like a pride thing. Like, they were going to do it anyway, but then Vince Russo tore it down. So, like, oh, we can't change now. Then he wins. Did either of you guys have a sharpening truck that would come to your house?
A what now?
Oh, that sounds made up.
No, it's not. So we have a truck here, or at least I did in the town where I grew up. Same bell as an ice cream truck. Right? Except it was like this truck that would come to your house to sharpen your scissors and knives. But the problem...
Did you grow up in a fairy tale?
No, I grew up in Saint-Bruno-de-Montarville. But the problem is one time the ice cream truck actually came by. Uh-huh. And so now every time you heard this bell, you got super excited, but it was just this fucker trying to sharpen your scissors.
Did he then take the scissors and plunge them into you?
I should have killed him.
Wait, was it like for free or just like you had to pay him?
No, you had to pay him.
Like, how much?
I don't know. I never got it. I was always disappointed. Like, it's not some benevolent sharpener guy. The guy's running a business.
No.
He's not doing this out of the goodness of his heart. If that ice cream truck had just
thing to sell.
Look, if the ice cream truck had just not passed that one time, it wouldn't have been a problem. I would have associated the bell with the sharpener guy. Anyway, let's move on. Daniels, they're coming to the ring. Sex. Daniels is doing hand gestures like he's on an episode of Raw. It's just nonstop. Russo also brought something called his soap box for him to stand on. It's a little on the nose, I think. And, like, this is fucking ludicrous because he just had a 7-minute interview.
This whole situation is about me and Jeff Jarrett. But everyone else wants to get involved, so we'll have a big party. We're not the NWO. We're not street thugs. We're just here to educate these morons and make a plea. Millions around the world believe in me and sex. Before it gets out of hand, you can step in and join.
And he, I'm watching it, and I wrote in my notes, the NWO, this is not. And just as I write that, he goes, we are not the NWO.
Oh, shit.
Guys, David Flair has a very swollen face. Jenny, is that from getting beat up or crying?
Crying while getting beat up.
Nice. Probably
and
by
a heavy salt diet.
And steroids.
And, right, he's injecting.
He should return whatever steroids he's on.
David, you don't have to inject them into your face, right?
Oh, what?
BG James's pants are like, I swear it's like a fucking parachute that someone sewed down into a pair of pants. Yep. It's so big. And just as Russo is getting hired up, here comes, well.
The fat man.
I love fat man Paul Bearer.
Same.
And then everybody wants to listen to the fat man. Percy Pringle says he knows the real Vince Russo. And then Pringle runs him down for being an interviewer. But like, it's not a horrible profession. Like,
yeah, I think he's just saying he remembers him as a kid and now he's an asshole, I guess. I don't know.
I guess, but like, Paul, why? Who's he to shit on anyone's job when he was a mortician?
Well, and the whole angle he takes is weird. He says Russo snaked his way in. He got a big on the payroll. And they kind of didn't really have any interactions. They weren't friends. They weren't enemies. But he says Russo brought in a bunch of freaks, geeks, midgets, and giants and called it sports entertainment. I mean, I guess Pringle does kind of then admit that he's like being hypocritical because, you know, he was kind of the same type of character, right? But I don't know. It was just a weird take. Like,
yeah.
You ruined wrestling. But I mean, Paul Bearer and Undertaker came along way before the Oddities did.
Yeah. And in like 2 years, he's about to be killed in a cement accident. So.
Yeah, it's odd. But he admits it. He says maybe wrestling's dead and buried.
I love that you mentioned snakes because I remember how much like all the old timers talk about snakes on this show. On the Jeff Jarrett podcast, they often read from Jerry Jarrett's book. And every time they read a passage, it's something about a fucking snake. So it's not just that. I guess Jarrett's writing the show. JT, could you describe the color of Percy Pringle's face?
Sadness
on a platter. Also, why is Elix Skipper's head so small?
He's not taking the steroids that David Flair is.
Percy Pringle
stuff. He's like a good character. He's got the history, but I don't know. Like this whole thing with him and TNA, makes me I don't know. Kind of actually made me sad. Like I don't know. This is going to become a thing. Like, there's so many guys coming in and out of this fucking promotion, and it's like some of them just feel like this one felt like a desperate payday, and it made me sad. Because it doesn't feel like he really has anything to do here. And then what ends up happening is he gives his hand, and Russo, you know, you're no different than Jared and The Undertaker. I made you. You kicked me in the ass. I heard you cutting promos behind my back, you fat piece of shit. And then they like beat the shit out of Pringle and he's bleeding. It's like, I don't know. It's like, good for him, I guess. His buddy brought him in and got him a payday. But it felt like, I don't know. This is kind of sad to see.
Well, and when Percy offers him his hand, Percy Pringle's hands are smaller than Jack Kelly's on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I know. So tiny.
They're tiny, tiny hands. They kicked the shit. The one thing that did pop me though is as they're kicking the shit out of him, Russo goes, "Oh yes."
I'll pop for the blood because he was fucking gushing.
He
all
was
over
bleeding
the place.
A lot.
Well, they broke the soapbox on his head.
Yeah, they did.
Well, it makes him look pathetic too because he doesn't really get It wasn't like showed as a ruse or anything. Like he really was gonna shake his hand and want to be his buddy, and then they kicked the shit out of him. It's like. It completely emasculated him and left him laying. You know what I mean? I don't know. The whole thing just felt sad. Out comes fucking Jorge Estrada's Elvis gear.
Of all people.
He gets put through a table. Then Jarrett saves. But I don't know. Like, again, I thought this was fine. Pringle can still do it on the mic. And it adds to the angle. It brings in reality. But I just, again, was kind of sad seeing him.
Well, and when he's bleeding, like, the Harris brothers are like, look at this! Look at this! Like, we've never seen blood before. I also was struck that, like, they ripped up Percy Pringle's clothes. And I really hope they're going to pay for that, because that's a lot of material that they're ripping through there.
It's the half the wardrobe budget, I feel like.
But there's no time to rest, because obviously we're moving away. Tanay's apologizing for Amazing Red not being there. And tonight, Divine Storm, of all teams, is getting a title shot against America's Most Wanted. And later in the show, we got Jeff Jarrett and the Road Warriors against Triple X. At this point, I notice there's a guy in the front row wearing a full-on winter jacket. Jenny, is he dying under that?
Yes, he is already deceased.
He's dead. Did he die that night?
He did.
Yeah.
I can assume it. I mean, you don't think it gets chilly in Nashville in the winter?
Nah.
I mean, this fairground is probably... I mean, it was like inside technically, but it's probably like open air, I would think, a little bit, right? Because it's like a... Like a barn set up, probably, like in the fairgrounds. I don't know.
This is the TNA.
I'm saying
barn?
It's probably not like a nice heated arena, I guess, is my point. So if we get a chilly night.
I feel like you're imagining the stereotype of what a fairgrounds is and forcing it onto this venue.
I'm confident.
You're confident. That's... There's shit everywhere that TNA is stepping on, and this is an open air stadium that's freezing cold.
Yes.
Well, most people have like short sleeve shirts on, like some girls have dresses on.
There's girls in the audience?
Yeah, a few.
Well,
they're here for Storm and Harris. Look at those guys.
Yeah, they're probably screaming. Trinity and Divine come out together, and I find they have the exact same chin. Do you think they're cousins or siblings?
Cousins are siblings, kind of, right?
Are they banging also? Because that's my next question.
Yes.
Yeah, no, she can do better.
AMW comes down and the tag belts look really good on them, I find. Mm-hmm. So Paul Bearer has bled all over this ring. JT, do you think these guys like rolling around in that cholesterol filled blood on the mat?
It's probably mixed with Undertaker's blood too. Like, you know, they did some kind of pact at some point.
Well, and Kane's blood, because he is his blood.
There's all kind of fucking Brothers of Destruction DNA laying around that fucking ring.
So wait, is Divine Storm now Blood Brothers with both The Undertaker and Kane?
Yeah, that's how that works.
Oh, my goodness. I find Divine Storm looks like children next to America's Most Wanted.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, they've been odd this whole time. They actually did beat AMW, though, remember? December 11th. Yeah.
Now, Jenny, do AMW need to be very careful how they write the M on their tights so it doesn't look like A&W?
You know, I wondered that as well. Like, that had to be some tricky lettering. And, you know, they both have some pretty nice asses, so
the M could go right into that crack.
Yeah, it really could.
I guess it's better if you put an M in the crack as opposed to a Jesus cross. AMW beat up Child Storm for like 2 straight minutes together without the ref saying a goddamn word. Trinity hits a hurricanrana on James Storm. And it occurs to me that no matter who America's Most Wanted is feuding with, there's always someone that shares one of their names.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's so confusing. I hate it.
Yeah.
So many Harrises. I mean, I'm telling you. So one thing Vince may be onto is this confusing name stuff, because it's been proven here. There's so many Harrises and Storms and everything else.
Yeah, and then like so that there's the Harrises and now they're fighting a team called Storm with a guy called Storm.
Yes.
Yeah. And if they fight James Mitchell, anyway, it's a whole other thing.
Yes.
So this fucking referee, this referee drove me insane. On every pin account, he's counting three.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he was. I've never seen this man before, but he looks like someone's uncle who volunteered for the show. Every fucking two count is a three. Trinity hits a low blow. They only get two. Quiet Storm then nearly breaks his neck, jumping to the outside. Trinity hits a moonsault, and they clearly catch her, and then she falls. And then America's Most Wanted hits a death sentence and wins. JT, does it make America's Most Wanted look strong beating up these children?
Anytime they win a match, they look good. I think this is a quality defense. It was baseline tag stuff, but it picked up a little bit toward the end. And it pays off Divine Storm's hot streak with this title shot because they have won a bunch of matches. And I thought Trinity was good. I think she should be showcased and is better than Divine Storm and should be doing better things. We'll see if it goes anywhere. I also thought West was pretty good here, too. He says that, you know, we shouldn't forget that Percy offered his hand to Russo. And he wonders how the traditionalists will treat Percy now in the back. So I went 2.5. I was just a standard straight line TV tagged title defense.
Jenny, how important is Trinity to their act?
She is the feature of their act. I've said it since day one. Like, she's the best part of their team, and she's kind of slumming it with them now, to be honest, and she needs to move on to somebody better. If we had a women's division, that would be pretty cool, but I guess she's saddled with these fucks for now.
Would we call it a women's division, though, or should we call it something else?
We'd call it a titty division.
A titty division. I don't give a call it the coochie club. I don't give a fuck.
With K's. The crazy coochie club, all with K's.
No one wants women's wrestlers today. They want the coochie club.
The crazy coochie club headed by Don and Ron Harris.
It's on my idea. The fans want it.
I would agree with everything that you said. You know, fairly standard tag match, but I gave it 2.5 as well.
This show's not getting covered in Hustler with Trinity at ringside.
I'm a 2.25. I just thought there was a bit of sloppiness, but it was fine. I really like America's Most Wanted. We're now on to a recap of AJ Styles, kind of his whole thing. The graphics in this recap are from a 1988 screensaver, like the way the shape kind of moves all around the screen. We get some really nice slow-mo penis pumps in the promo by AJ Styles. Mm-hmm. Jenny, his song the whole time is yelling, is saying, I am, I am. But what is he?
He's everything.
You want.
Everything.
Can we not? So, after the song playing for a minute and a half, finally Styles enters to the ring. Right away, he's got a mic. Right away, he says, zip it. JT, is this his catchphrase going forward? Zip it?
He probably watched a lot of WrestleMania 5 as a kid. So, I'm out no more Downey Jr.
Right.
It's not lip it. It's not flip it. It's zip it. I like West too. He's his own man.
Oh God. Yeah. And well, as much as you like West, you know, you got the asshole Tanae, because he goes, who is AJ Styles with? And Tanae goes, that's one of the questions. Like, what were the other questions? If there's one of many. Tanae's like he's flying solo. And then Truth comes out like he's gonna fucking murder him.
Mm-hmm.
And is murder Truth the best Truth?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Truth turns to him and says, your breath smells like Similac.
Jenny, suck it on the pitties today.
Jenny, is that a deep cut?
Gotta be, right? Yeah.
He goes, you won't get a shot until you can get past the suntan Superman. And West goes, now this is a matchup. JT, aren't all matches matchups?
Yeah, but this is a matchup.
No, the other one sucked. This is a matchup.
Haven't we seen this matchup before, though?
No, this is one.
Oh, okay, good. Dude in a pimp hat in the front row pulling very hard for Truth. Very hard. And Styles just drop kicks him straight in the balls to start whatever this is. Then Tanae starts pimping that... It's the way he words it. He says, Australia is joining us next week.
Ashley Hudson.
Jenny, is he referring to the entire country?
I didn't know. I was like, is that a stripper? Like, what are we doing?
JT, would you live in Australia?
If I could live with Stacy.
I just feel all the predators would be.
It's a lot of predators. The time thing too, it's confusing. The cricket noises or whatever the marshy bogs make the noises make.
That's a didgeridoo, a marshy bog.
The fuck?
Play that marshy bob.
Bog. I said bog.
Sorry. The thing you named an instrument that was completely wrong. I messed up the repeating of it.
No, the bog, marshy bogs, like the swamps.
Yeah, I just.
I don't think there are swamps in Australia.
Though. Oh, there are. There are swamps.
Where the crocodiles are. Where do you think they live? On the fucking beach? Where do you think they live?
Oh, in fairness, I feel like the crocodiles in Australia just straight up live in the cities.
Right. They live wherever the fuck they want.
Oh, well, you're here now?
He did live in New York, yes.
Sorry, you've moved into my house, Mr. Crocodile. I'll move.
It's all yours.
He also says they got some pickup in Asia. And some new news coming soon for the Cindy Show explosion. So what? TNA's growing. Russo's right.
Yeah, TNA's growing. Jenny, AJ talks about Mortimer Plumtree being gone. Has Mortimer Plumtree leaving the AJ Styles camp helped the act?
Yeah. I mean, what was he adding for AJ? He wasn't doing anything for him. He would come
and look small.
I don't know. You would come and sit and bitch on commentary, and that was about it. Like,
I'm here to tell you a tale.
AJ.
To sing a song that old.
This is going to seem like a crazy comp, but he reminds me a little bit of Triple H in his first year of coming up as a heel, like, where they keep trying different things to see what is going to finally click, right?
I thought you meant Plumtree reminded you of Triple H.
They both suck, yeah. No, but they, like when they kept kind of trying different shit until China stuck. They tried, you know, Mr. Perfect. They tried Mr. Hughes. Like, they kept trying to put different things with him to get him to click. And then he did. Like, that's what it feels like here. Like, all right, we tried more. Like, how can we solidify AJ as a heel? Like, what's it going to take? Like, that's what it feels like they're trying to do.
It's so weird.
Well, right now, they don't even know which division they want to put him in. If he's going to stay in the X or go up like he wants.
Well, and that's the whole thing with this, is the whole story is, can AJ hang with the heavyweights, right? Mm-hmm. AJ slaps some truth in an Indian death lock. JT, were you alarmed that no announcer talked about the fingers being locked?
I mean, that seems to be a natural thing that's always talked about, so it was a little off-putting.
Yes, I didn't like it at all. Truth butts headbutts him right in the groin. And, like, I've noticed, too, there have been 3 nut shots on this show, and we're only in the second match. Feels like a high ratio. Truth hits a crazy front suplex from the top rope.
Mm-hmm.
And then Plumtree runs out. But then David Flair runs out with the fucking burlap bag.
Oh, I'm so sick of that sack.
Yeah, he hits and Styles gets a 3 count. Jenny, are we really playing what's in the sack here?
I wish we would not do that. And, you know, this, I don't know. This match was pretty boring for the most part. So maybe they were just doing what they could do to drum up some interest. I have no idea.
Just get the guy out there with a sack.
I guess.
JT, is it possible that sack is filled with 21 turtles?
No, it's probably filled with pictures of his dad, because this is why he's in the wrestling business, to impress old Rick.
Is it like glass frames, or is it just
nope,
like
just the pictures?
A sack. He went to Costco and got a bunch of pictures printed in a sack.
10 cents each. There was a really sweet delayed vertical by AJ mm-hmm. in this, showing off his power. And I thought it was a different, no pun intended, style match for him. Kind of showing he can mix it up. He's grinding and pounding a bit. Not as much X style mixed in. And I didn't think it was that boring. I actually liked it. Even with the sex ending, AJ thought mixing it up was good. Truth, of course, always does a nice job. And they kind of met in the middle stylized. And I thought they have good chemistry, and we should see it again, open it up a little bit more. I went 3 stars on this. I liked it.
Yeah, I'm at
3 stars.
No, you're at 3 also. I'm at 2 3/4.
No, I'm not at 3.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you were saying that out of in a yeah. jeering fashion.
She's being a bitch, yes.
Oh, my God.
I would never do such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you at 2 3/4? Aaron?
I don't know. It was almost good.
That's how I feel. Same for me.
Yeah, almost good. So, because I think they've had a better match in the past, too. So, I don't know. That's just kind of how it felt for me. All right, Tanay, though, cuts in right away. He's like, I think something's going on in the back, and Goldie has a microphone. I don't understand why he gives the full microphone word, but doesn't say Goldilocks. It's just Goldie. Goldie in the back is dressed like she's dating one of the Road Warriors to me. Double J's with Double J, and he's like, I've worked many years to step into the ring with world champions. And like, but at the Royal Rumble 94, he was in the ring with Yokozuna and The Undertaker. Like, he stepped into the ring with champions before.
Still took him a lot of years.
Yeah, it did. Animal is wearing a t-shirt under his shoulder pads. Does this worry you, JT?
No, I think I'm actually okay with it. Because like, it's a man that knows he probably shouldn't take that off.
Right. Yeah. Also, speaking of things that should be taken off, no one told Jeff Jarrett that faces don't wear reading glasses. He's got to get those off his face if he's going to be a
thing. He's doing his crossword puzzles before the show.
I'm trying to do my Sudoku here. So then Animal, like, Goldie is not ready at all for this promo. Because, I mean, look, she's interviewed guys at the back, but, like, Animal and Hawk are a different level of wrestling promo, right? And Animal starts cutting his promo, and poor Goldie has to spend the whole time avoiding the giant spike, like, that's, like, waving around her eye the whole time. Animal also names himself Hawk and Jarrett and Triple X about 10 times in the span of a minute. Hawk ends with a, well, what a rush, which is still fucking cool. And then before this could go anywhere, Styles is back in the arena and demanding a title shot from Mike Tenay.
Uh-huh.
And he's not leaving until he gets a shot. And then he throws Tiny the timekeeper. And then he's like, I want people to wrestle around me until he gets a title shot. And then, so while there's so much chaos, but then someone comes out to stop him. And when this man comes out, he gets zero reaction.
And that's on the crowd. Fuck them.
Yeah, I know. He gets zero. And it's Larry Zbyszko, right? Like,
this is great. That's great.
Yeah, I liked it too. But the first thing he says is NWA stands for tradition. Jenny, can a company that has tits and ass in the title stand for tradition?
Hey, tits and ass have been part of the tradition for a long time.
Well, and he did say NWA. He didn't say TNA.
No, he said NWA TNA.
Yeah, well, he meant NWA.
We're assuming Larry Zbyszko's intentions now.
It's a little chilly in that arena. He was trying to just get his point.
West cold. Should have had a winter coat. He probably stepped in some shit before he came out. So he kind of rambles a bit. He wants to cut his wrists listening to Russo, which is a strange thing to say.
Yeah, that was rough.
He calls him a miscommunication of DNA, which is a great fucking line.
Yeah.
Ruins everything he comes in contact with.
And then today's like, living legend, telling it like it is. Like,
and Styles just looks so fucking confused, just standing there as Larry's going on and on.
Yeah, because he starts talking about souls.
Like,
it's too deep for what this show is.
It's like they're on different pages. AJ keeps saying, I'm not with Russo, but Larry's acting like he is.
Yeah.
Completely over the place.
And if they're talking about souls, JT, would this not be a golden opportunity to bring James Mitchell out here?
Well, naturally, yes.
Because he's saying...
Let's see Larry Z drink some Odd Dad blood.
Yes.
Yeah, and Larry Descartes is like, the soul becomes your image. Like, it's just way too deep for what this is supposed to be. And like, he just keeps going on and on. Tanay's like, he put him in his place! And Larry says there's only one school, the school of hard knocks. But there's plenty of schools, aren't there?
That's the only real true school.
Yeah, I guess. AJ slaps him, and then Larry takes his shirt off. Thankfully, security intervenes. Jenny, are they going to have a wrestling match?
I was hoping so. I mean, what the shit? AJ scared Larry Z.
JT, is Larry Z a good addition to this show?
Yes. I am a Larry Z fan. I think he adds he's not on the Jesse Ventura level, but he's of that type, right? That adds an instant credibility and seriousness and importance to everything going on. Like, everything feels more important when he's out here. I think he's a really good fit, because I also think he's underutilized and underexposed in wrestling. Like, there's some legends and other guys that pop up a million fucking times, right? Like, we see him over and over and over. But, like, Zbyszko really wasn't like that. Like, you don't see him a ton. So I was actually excited to see him come out, because he didn't do a ton after WCW. And I like him a lot as an announcer at WCW. So I was excited to see him. I thought he was really good here. And I think, you know, this is the kind I was getting at earlier when I said they're trying to throw shit at the wall with AJ. So maybe now Larry gets in the mix. I think he could be good if he's paired with him in some way going forward. But yeah, I thought this was a good pickup. Of all the randoms they're bringing in, this is a good one.
Well, if you had to describe his voice as a musical instrument, what would it be?
Oboe.
Like one of those?
A didgeridoo.
That's not a what Martian it's called. we get a recap now of Desire and all her bad dialogue. And then she comes out with
I'm a kangaroo down.
Desire comes out with Siaki as her second. Siaki has also had three outfits now in two appearances. He had the tracksuit. Now he's got the...
Well, they stay soaking wet.
He's got to keep changing shirts, yeah.
Yeah.
of the tracksuit, Adidas hoodie, and football jersey, which was the best?
I like the jersey. It looks hot in it.
I like the hoodie.
I'll go tracksuit just to split the vote. April Hunter then comes out with her enormous breasts. Her music is the worst Motley Crue ripoff I have ever heard. Girls, girls, girls. Athena scares off Siaki from – she's with Athena. Athena scares off Siaki from for assaulting Hunter. Hunter tries for a fucking float over, and she misses by a mile, so they both just jump in the air. West goes, these are real female wrestlers, which I think is the ballsiest thing he's ever said.
Well, he's used to seeing fucking said. Bruce and everything else, so I mean, to him, this is probably the best, the actual most real women's wrestling match he's seen in TNA.
They mention the Desire is trained by Dusty Rhodes, of all people. do you think Dusty's like, JT, do you think Dusty's throwing furniture in the back?
Listen. I never trained Desire.
Desire just like, and then Desire goes up to the top rope and she just kind of like falls off the top rope. Jenny, was the only good move in this thing Hunter's suplex?
Yeah, it actually was. Not bad on that one, but I mean, also I enjoyed their gear quite a bit. I mean, we had a thong situation, shiny red tight stuff. It's a good look.
Thong, 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 thong.
Desire is interesting too, because like she's carries herself well. Like she's got a lot of confidence and like looks good. You know what I mean? But she's also like super green, like really hesitant. Her offense is super choppy. You know, botches that leap to the top, but she keeps pushing through. Like she doesn't let it get her down and compound on it. She kind of fucks up and just moves along. So,
yeah, I mean, look, the match was garbage. Like I gave
no,
it
no, the top rope for Karana for the finish was the best moment. For sure. I went 3/4 of a star.
Half star.
I went half. JT, why doesn't Athena mind her own business?
Look, I mean, she keeps getting dragged into this shit. Remember, Russo treated her like garbage on that one episode. I don't blame her for getting involved. But then it just takes forever when Desire like tries to strip Athena.
Yeah. Well, and that's
just goes on and on and on. And Don West says Russo must be behind the strip show.
Yeah, because it fulfills his prophecy from like 2 weeks earlier.
Right. Yeah.
I also find it a bit of a double standard that like when Larry Zbyszko was about to be attacked by AJ Styles, the security was out in like a second. Meanwhile, this woman is getting her clothes torn off, and like it takes them like 2.5 minutes to get out there.
Oh, the cat fight.
That's real weird, Aaron. Imagine that.
Yeah, but finally, we move right away from this into the stripper music, so everyone just stops and walks out of the ring. Jenny, is the stripper music with the girls in the cages like the playoff music at the Academy Awards?
Yeah, it is.
Time to go.
It's like the Pluto bumper at the end of the commercial.
Yeah. But look, we can't even – we don't even stay with the strippers because there's something going on backstage. There's a pickup truck, and they're like – it feels like it's obviously Dusty Rhodes, but no, it's Mr. Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what's going on. Then someone in the front row is holding up a sign that says they miss their dead child / sibling.
Mm-hmm.
It's really depressing. Mm-hmm. And then we recap the debut of – did we need a recap of the debut of Mike Sanders?
No. God, I'm so tired of Mike Sanders already.
Yeah.
And that's a guy I actually kind of liked in WCW a little bit, but I am not a fan of him here. I think he's super fucking annoying. And then we go into his promo.
Well, and what else is annoying is that we're getting the sex music again. Here to sharpen your knives. Something else I noticed about Mike Sanders that I've never noticed until now, his teeth are way too short for his mouth.
Yeah. Like, Jenny, he's got the chiclets going on.
Yeah, Jenny, what does short teeth say about you?
That other things might be short as well, Aaron.
What, like his clit?
Right.
Yeah. Sanders just has too many colors on his tights too. Black, red, blue, yellow. It's just too much. Like, you can't have, unless you're Bruce, you can't have this many. You can't have a rainbow on your tights, right? And Mike Sanders has clearly cut off the sleeves of his own shirt here. Mm-hmm. And Sanders is here to support everything Russo stands for. And he's here to scout talent. Like, what a great wrestling character. A wrestling...
That's his job.
Yeah, a scout.
He's in charge of acquisitions.
And then he goes, the problem isn't with tradition, it's with philosophy.
Naturally.
Evolution is the solution. Fuck. Cliche Sanders is not a good promo, right?
No, I cannot. I am, yeah. Not a fan.
No. Jerry Lynn walks out, and he walks by a sign that says, victory through self-destruction. Like... The philosophy on this show is getting way too heavy for me. Then Lynn...
Everybody in Alabama has a cousin Mike that looks exactly like this guy, by the way.
Did they all take an intro-level to philosophy class? And like,
yes, yeah. Yes.
So Sanders says evolution is the solution. So, and he has a problem with philosophy. And Lynn is like, you say it's about philosophy. No, it's about tradition. What the fuck is Lynn talking about?
Nobody knows what anything's about.
Yeah. Look, Sanders is at ringside. A girl in the front row tries to touch him and almost flips over the barricade. And then out comes fucking Don Harris lumbering around. JT, has there ever been more of a waste of a life than Don Harris?
Yeah, Ron Harris.
How disappointed are their parents?
Ugh. I'm disappointed that I'm the same species.
Do you think they have a sister named Donna and another sister named Rhonda Harris?
Awful.
Sanders is wrestling in a t-shirt against Lynn.
See, that's more concerning that he's in the t-shirt versus Animal. He's like in his fucking 20s, like,
yeah,
professional athlete.
Yeah, Animal's in his 40s. It's acceptable, right?
Right, yeah. He's so basic in his offense, too. Just everything is... It's like he never left the power plant. That's what it feels like.
And he keeps yelling, hey! And I don't know why.
He feels super... This promotion is still stuck a little bit in the middle of, like, super indie versus, like, trying to be a pro-level top-tier company, right? Like, they're trying to compete with WWE, but then shit like Sanders screams just, like, local indie. And... Yeah, he was a featured WCW guy. He went over in the invasion, like, WWF buyout. Like, you'd think he would do it, but it just never really clicked for him. You know, he just never pieced it together. And he's just screams, just like, backyard wrestler.
Look, they thought, the WWF thought so little of Mike Sanders that they didn't even let him get beat up at any point during the invasion. Like, he was just up in the
bracket. Yeah, I think he got sent, like, right to developmental and then never came out of it.
Yeah. Jenny, is Mike Sanders above average or below average?
Below average.
So Sanders also nearly breaks his neck on a moonsault. And
yeah.
West at this point just up and fucking coughs like crazy into the mic. Like, I feel like he took a swig of water and it went down the wrong pipe, but he's just coughing up a fucking lung on the mic. Sanders hits the weakest low blow I've ever seen, then does a dance before giving him a neck breaker. JT, did the dance add to the deadliness of the move?
I don't know what he's doing. I really don't. It's like he has no clue what he is as a character, as a person. He's just like, I'm just gonna do all these things. That's it.
Yeah.
He's gonna do a bunch of things.
Don Harris just starts brutalizing the referee for no reason. This brings Dusty out. Lynn beats Sanders with a TKO. Jenny, is this a complete waste of Jerry Lynn?
Yes, I was thinking that this whole time. I'm like, what are we doing with Jerry Lynn? Like, he's been the whole backbone of everything for me in the promotion. So this is awful. And
yeah, I think they're trying to make him like a guardian against sex. You know what I mean? So
yeah, but
it feels like we should be getting better matches. We get them once a week. Give us something better than this.
Hmm. Yeah, JT, would you say this match was above average?
I had it as exactly average, 2.5 stars.
Me too.
Lynn is good, but Sanders is extremely limited, and he's just like a basic bitch. Like everything is just bland. It's what you think of when you think of this era from like 99 to the mid 2000s of just a creative wrestler, generic looking guys that they were pumping out in the black tights and the, you know, no look, no gimmick, just a name like that. This is him. He's the baseline caw in No Mercy, the video game, right? It's like, this is where you start before you create the wrestler.
If he's a basic bitch, do you think he should have been drinking a White Claw?
He's definitely walking around with a fucking six-pack of Mango White Claw.
How dare you.
Ooh, struck a nerve. Dusty and Lynn hug after the match. Does Lynn wish Dusty Rhodes was his dad?
Who doesn't?
I mean, he could be.
And does Dusty wish that Jerry Lynn was his son?
No.
He'd be my favorite son. Yeah.
Dusty grabs the mic and is like, everyone is cross with everyone tonight.
I want to know if I'm cross with Vince Russo, baby. Yeah. A cancerous man.
Yeah. And today's like, that's an understatement. And
pro wrestling was, you know, 35 years ago, no sign that advertised a midget beating off in a trash can.
Oh, yeah. He gets really on this.
Yeah.
And he remembers drinking cerveza in the back, if you will. And if you will, gets a pop.
Jared Jarrett to come in and draw a line in the ring.
What does it mean when he says he likes being crossed with a cancerous man? What does that mean?
Cancer's bad, so he wants to be a cross on the bad guy.
Well, like, if you're dying of cancer in the hospital, is he happy to come in and scream at you? Like,
I'll cross with you, baby, and your cancer.
Hey, man, you die.
You can have Ricky Steamboat wrestle for an hour for entertainment, or you can have that midget beaten off on a trash can.
His statement that Ricky Steamboat wrestled an hour a day, 7 days a week, 300 days a year. Like, that's 2,100 hours of wrestling. That's insane, right?
Didn't happen.
No way. Yeah, the midget beating off in a trash can, like, he really clearly has a problem with this.
And then out comes Russo.
Again.
Third time. You never thank me for making your son a star. Goldust was my creation. I got goosebumps when you came out last week, Dusty Rhodes. I grew up idolizing you and Ric Flair. Dusty takes a shot of Flair.
Yeah.
You got half of that right, baby.
I love, too, that like Russo's like talking about making Goldust, right? Making him a star. But Russo's also the guy who like put a ball gag in his mouth and had him like get beat up dressed as a baby and thrown in a porta potty. Like,
that's how you do entertainment.
And I love
what the people want.
I love, too, that Russo is standing right in front of Mike Tenay. And, like, why doesn't Mike Tenay attack him if he hates him so much?
He's a fucking pussy.
Ooh, I want him to.
And can we also
talk... I got the business to meet you and Ric Flair. But then I just want to do two things. I want to shave Flair's head and humiliate him. And then I want to slap that birthmark off your enormous gut.
Birthmark.
Oh, Lord.
Can we do a bit. Can't touch my bump.
Can we also talk about Russo's black V-neck with a black button-up shirt on top?
Yeah, he's not the most...
It's just all too much.
Yeah.
No, anyway, Dusty invites him to fight, and later it's going to be the six-man will now be an eight-man.
I don't need no gear to whip your ass, baby.
Yeah. But then Dusty's like, I can't make this decision on my own, so I'm going to go to Bullet Bob. Jenny, is this the only guy in the promotion that cares about the line of command?
Yes. Does it look to you guys that Vince and Dusty are enjoying this? Do you feel like they're having fun in this exchange?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if Russo's ever having fun. He seems constantly, but I think Dusty's loving it. I think he's having fun being back at it.
I don't know. I kind of felt like Russo was into it with Dusty, but
I think Dusty just loved talking about that midget. Beating off in a trash can.
That midget's been jerking off in that trash can, baby. What are you going to do about it?
How long ago was that?
That was episode... It had to be within the first few.
Yeah.
He's been holding on to this. It's quite the long-term grudge he's been hanging on to here.
So Russo says if his team wins, all the titles next week are on the line, and he picks the challengers. And West, like, freaks out about this potential.
Yeah. Well, this is great! He says it's great.
You better be aware, Dusty Rhodes. Oh, this is good, too. Like, it was, you know, Dusty kind of laid out all his issues, and Russo had his. And as much as I'm bagging on Russo, this is actually one of his stronger nights so far. I think all three promos have been solid by him. He seems pretty locked in tonight.
Yep.
Now, what do you guys think of this stip that's going to come out? Of like all the titles being on the line and Russo gets to choose the people.
I think it telegraphs who's going to win that match.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll see how it plays out. Jason Cross comes out with no crosses at first, but then I realized the cross is on it. It's on his ass. It took me a second to see it. All right. He's fighting David Young.
Now all they need is Stills and Nash.
They fist bump. They fist bump to start, which is a rare, maybe the first show of sportsmanship.
This is such a TNA match, this match. Pure TNA match.
Well, they go through clearly just a tumbling routine to start the match. Where they're just kind of rolling around the ring. And then they're like, Richard Arpin is here, the NWA president.
Dick Arpin. Yeah. Anytime you get Big Dick in the arena, you know it's a big, big day.
Jenny, who's more credible, Richard Arpin or Vladimir Putin?
Vladimir. I believe you and JT could have a better match than these guys.
Between Richard Arpin, Jenny, and Vladimir Putin, who has the bigger pussy?
I'm going to give that to Vlad as well.
Vlad's got the fucking pussy right on his chest.
Hell yeah.
David Young has an Asian symbol on his tights, but it also looks like the logo for the Detroit Tigers. I can't figure out which one it is. And the announcers are not into this either. They're speculating, is Bullet Bob going to accept the stipulation for Russo? JT, why would the NWA accept that stipulation?
Because they're confident. I mean, they're not getting anything in return. I guess they get a shot at Russo. I don't know.
And just beat him up backstage. That's what happens all the time, right?
Yeah, but you know my issue is the Bullet. He rambles on so quickly.
Right.
Cash is going to fight Siaki. And he has an equalizer for Desire. And he gives Russo grants his wish.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, the announcers are speculating. Look, this match is just in slow motion because it's so apparent that they're just working together.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're right. When Bob comes down, Tanae's like, can we get a headset for Bob? Let's get a microphone in place. And Bob comes down and goes, I didn't mean to interrupt, but then why the fuck didn't he wait till the end of the match then?
Well, who gives a shit? This match sucks.
Yeah, I know. Look, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but why say that at all?
I think it was a dig on those guys. Like, I hate to interrupt this fun match, but.
And then he goes, to end all that, he goes, who knows what will happen if they get nose to nose or toes to toes? Tanae says it's a good call to accept the stipulation. So Tanae's on board at least. David Young wins the match with the Spinebuster. JT, could the company have cared less about this match?
I was actually surprised to see Cross kind of tumble like this after his big start. Remember, he started really hot. It was presented strongly. Now he's just kind of become a guy. Young, you know, beats him clean, takes most of the match. I thought this was pretty basic. It was hard fought. I went 2 3/4. I thought it was It was fine. It didn't capture the imagination much, but they also didn't fuck my job. I was just kind of there.
Jenny, could the guys have cared less about this match?
They were trying, but I don't know. All of it was just real flat. I gave it half a star.
I gave it one
half a star.
If Bullet Bob comes out just to talk nonsense in the middle of your match, like, you're not doing great.
Jeez.
Hey, I have no. You gave it the same score as you gave April Hunter and Desire.
Yeah.
I went 1 3/4. I thought it was a mess. I didn't like it. But all this pales in comparison to the excitement of BG James coming out and talking to his dad, and Scott Armstrong having to come. It's the Armstrongs exploding. And am I the only one sensing a little bit of regret from BG James?
A little bit, maybe a touch.
Scott, and then Tanay goes, Scott Armstrong is also the son of Barb Armstrong. And I guess we need someone to explain this, since so many guys in the promotion have the same fucking name.
True.
But before this has any time to develop, like there's this action happening. It really is total nonstop action. Like, they're arguing on the outside. Before there's any time, Don West and Tanay are screaming, "Who is that?" And it's Conan kicking the shit
Conan.
Out of
Conan!
Kicking the shit out of both X Division guys with a kendo stick.
Fresh off sending Jenny DM serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then out of nowhere comes this fucking guy who looks like he's there to run a cab stand.
And Burt Prentice.
Yeah. Did any of you know who he was? I didn't know who he was.
Yeah, he's a long time, like, USWA Memphis guy, manager, promoter, booker, blah blah blah.
Oh,
it's super random. I mean I think it's just Jarrett's buddy getting a fucking payday, you know what I mean? They don't really explain why he's involved with Conan, but they call him out. Tonight does say it's Burt Prentice.
But he's wearing that fucking cab hat, which drives me. Yep. Hey kid, you want a shot driving a cab, huh? You pick up the fare, drive him over there. I had to pause the show at this point because there's just so much happening. This is one of those moments where I had to stop it and breathe because I'm like, well, Conan's here. The cab stand guy's here. I had to rewind to get the name because they said it so fast. The Armstrongs are exploding.
Tonight also says Eddie Marlin is here too.
I don't know why.
Oh, Jesus.
Lots going on.
Police are there to escort Conan out. Conan is also wearing a Don West-esque shirt. Very... Jenny, do you feel this whole thing required some form of explanation?
No, what do you mean? I don't need any explanation on TNA.
Just happens.
Just people running and wreck shit all the time with their giant earrings and velvet red shirts.
It's just like, can you give us some context as to who Burt Prentice is if you don't know who he is? Now, this next...
No.
This
the
next,
one time today I didn't feel the need to overexplain something.
I know. Exactly. I know. He said he's coming tonight. Like, well, can you tell us who he is? Now, look, I know this is a small thing, but this is the kind of thing that makes my blood boil. So Sonny Siaki is coming to the ring, coming out to his music, and Borash says, being led towards the ring by Desire, but she's walking behind him. Does this bother anyone else, or am I just so enraged that I'm picking on things now?
You're psychotic.
Like, she's behind him. She's not leading him.
Well, Borash probably didn't look over there and see what the fucking the count was. I don't know. Like, what does it matter?
It matters because Kid Cash is now being led, and actually led by Trinity, until they run down side by side. But I find that one I can forgive a little bit more. Siaki.
This was great, by the way. A way better fit for Trinity. This is weird. Yes. This makes more sense. Being wasted with stupid Quiet Storm.
Yeah, no shit. So it's Siaki against Kid Cash. Siaki nearly kills Kid Cash early on the railing. And Siaki hooks Kid Cash's leg at one point, but then really just places it on the ropes for him. And, of course, Tanay, instead of the match, is talking about the power and control of the championship belts. JT, is this just a weird rehash of the WCW point of view about the belts having power?
I guess. I don't know. It's always kind of been a thing, though.
But what does that actually mean, like, when you can strip someone of a title?
Well, it's when you're champion, you're going to make the most money. You kind of have a little bit extra stroke. You're the top guy. You can call your shots.
Can you?
Yeah.
Someone tell that to Bret Hart, 1997?
Well, I tried.
Desire pulls Cash out on a pin attempt. But if so they keep calling Trinity the equalizer, right? But she does nothing whenever Desire does something. Like, just go beat her up.
Well, it's just setting her up. Playing mind games.
Desire then trips up Cash, and Siaki hits the Siaka Popolopolips for the win. And then Trinity and Desire fight to Sunny Siaki's music, which I think is very fitting. JT, should they have played that music for the entire encounter, like a New Jack match?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. I thought this was really good. I thought Cash looked great. He's been on fire. Siaki worked as a good base for him. Cash kind of bounced all over. He seems like a guy that knows this may be the push. He's got Desired. I mean, he's got Trinity now with him, so that's a good pairing. And, you know, she can deal with Desire. And Siaki's kind of the type of champ that works well retaining like this with these kind of sneaky, shoddy wins and escaping with the belt. So I thought it was pretty good. I went 2 3/4 on this as well. And I've really enjoyed Cash this whole time, and he continues to impress.
Jenny, if Trinity and Desire had made love instead of fighting, would that have enhanced the product?
Yeah, I think so. That's what this match was missing for me. I must have been in a real bad mood when I watched these 2 weeks ago, Jenny, because I gave it 1.5.
Oh, this is good.
Yeah, and I think it's because I'm ready for Cash to win something. Kind of tired of Sunny, and I don't know. I like the pairing with Trinity. Maybe that'll do something. I don't know. I wasn't feeling this one.
I went 2.5. I thought it was fine. Not the best, not the worst. Tanae and Wes are talking now about next week. Next week, I can't believe they're bringing it back. We're getting Rowdy Roddy Piper next week.
Oh, Lord.
I'm sure it's going to be taped, whatever it was.
Yes, I doubt it. They're going to let him go off the cuff again.
Zabisco and Styles, and we're going down under next week. Tanae just can't wait anymore, but here we go. Bicycle bell, ding, ding, sex is out. Triple X coming through the crowd. Vince Russo in a hockey helmet. JT, is this because he had legit concussions?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, like
he's got a mouth sent too.
Yeah,
haven't they all had legit concussions? I mean,
but he writes extensively in his book about having suffering from real concussions as being part of wrestling, and how he wishes he never did it, and then here he is doing it again, like a fucking moron. Mm-hmm. And then Tanae goes, you asked for tradition, here comes tradition. And LOD comes out, and I think they come out to Abyss's music, like what becomes Abyss's music. And then Dusty comes out to the song that opens the show. Da-na, that one.
Well, it's tradition. Yeah.
And then Jeff Jarrett comes out last, but his music does not – do you think his music fits a face character?
Well, it's his world.
Yeah, it just feels like an evil person coming out.
What looked weird was the animal in that full body singlet.
Yeah. Does Jarrett fit with the LOD and Dusty at all?
Four legends.
Because I associate him with the new generation / attitude era, which is kind of what Russo is, right?
Yeah, but he's the good in it because his family is in the business. He's second generation star. He respects the tradition, even though he's younger.
Even though he beat up women for 6 months.
They're not traditional.
Yeah, I guess. Animal is wearing Sione's tights from the 1995 Royal Rumble, for anyone keeping track. And Tanae is just outraged that Vince Russo has a mouth guard in. I don't know why he's so mad about this in particular. Dusty's like, this ain't no hockey thing. And the announcers are like, who's going to get their hands on Russo? But I think we all know and understand that this is going to end with Russo scoring a pin on someone, right?
Yes.
And I think I think I'd be more into the old versus new if it wasn't led by Vince Russo. What do you guys think about that?
Who would you rather see? Who's more believable?
R-Truth as the mouthpiece for the new.
Yeah, there's probably better options. Russo has been fine talking when he stays focused and actually brings a story versus trying to go all over the map and shit. Like I said, I think tonight he's been fine. He's just got a weird mix of guys. He doesn't really have an ace. You know what I mean? I think that's part of the problem right now.
He's the $1 million corporation.
Yeah, he just doesn't have that top guy. But in fairness, the whole promotion kind of doesn't have one. So,
are you saying, you know, Jeff Jarrett's not the ace of the promotion?
It's just like B-level top guys. Hall was like the closest they had, you know?
Right.
And he's gone, long gone. So
right.
At this point, it's like they got Jarrett, Truth, AJ. I mean, like they're good guys, but none of them are like
stars.
A big torch-bearing star. Yeah.
Yeah, they
cover.
They really have to make their own star.
Or Mike Sanders.
And it's kind of telling, I think, that you're putting Dusty in a fucking match too. Like, you need some star power
right.
in a match.
I actually think that watching Triple X, I almost said Triple H. It's never that. Watching Triple X with the LOD is pretty interesting. Like, not that I think the match is going to be good, but it's just such a strange matchup of guys. Like, to be out
I
there
liked
again.
It. I thought Daniels was pinballing all around for them, which was cool. Hawk throwing Elix Skipper around, just dominating. And I thought they were good bases for this. I mean, Triple X is great. They work really well together. So we're going to see more of that. But I thought, you know, Road Warriors is a good basis for them. And then also their power offense. And I thought Dusty got a really good hot tag. He cleans house. And then we get the finish as Mr. Wrestling 4 comes in and hits Dusty with a chain. And Elix covers for the win as Tenay is screaming because Sex will get their title matches. And then we unmask Mr. Wrestling 4 to reveal one of the most random appearances of all time, I think. That was Nikita Koloff showed up.
Yeah, it's so absurd and weird. Like, and like...
This is what makes this still feel indie, that they bring these guys in randomly that only may be around for a week or two and they're out. So, I mean, I guess it's kind of a nod to some territory stuff, but like they bring in so many fucking guys to this roster and half of them just hang around like a week or two and then vanish.
Yeah.
Like I can't imagine Koloff is going to hang around very long.
And why would you want him? Like,
that's a great question.
What's he going to add?
Yeah, like, and like when Elix Skipper is pinning, I forget who he pins, but he pins one of the guys on the face team. I think it's Rhodes. It's Dusty, actually.
Dusty,
yeah, it's Dusty. Yeah,
yeah, that's kind of fucked up.
Tanay is fucking screaming like someone's killing his children in front of him. No, no. Jenny, how do you think the Legends did here?
You know, it could have went worse. We've seen a couple of Legends in there before have some pretty sloppy matches. But, I mean, for what it was, I thought they did a pretty good job putting it together. I gave it 2 3/4.
Yeah, I thought this was fun. It was an old school style, kind of a great heat segment, some fun teamwork, some stooging. I liked the end, even with Koloff being an odd choice. I thought the finish was well done. And, again, I think this has been one of the stronger nights we've had in a bit. Mm-hmm. Across the board, and this was a pretty solid main event. I went 3 stars. What'd you think, Aaron?
I went 3 stars. I thought the match was a lot of fun. The reveal of Koloff was exactly that, completely random. But the whole time this match was happening, I kept seeing Percy Pringle's blood on the mat and kept thinking, what was the fucking point of that? And with that, we are out.
Blood is the point. Yeah. That is all.
And we are out on the January 15th episode. JT, what was your best segment of the night?
I went with the Larry and Dusty promos and Russo. Those two, like all three of those guys did well.
Jenny, best segment.
I was debating between Russo and Dusty, but I also really like Tanay and Russo, so I'm going to give it to Tanay on that one.
What's the worst segment, Jenny?
Oh, God. Mike Sanders video?
The video, not his promo?
Yeah, all of it. Anything Mike Sanders related.
I went with Desire trying to rip off Athena's pants for what felt like 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think I'm with Mike Sanders, but those were both bad. Who do you want to see more of, JT?
More of the realism in the sex angle, for one. Like, it kind of fuels the why this is all happening. So when Russo digs in deeper on some of that stuff, to me, it speaks more to it. So that, More Trinity with Cash on offense, yeah, et cetera, and more Larry and Dusty.
You know, when you say the realism of the sex angle, what do you mean? Like,
Russo talking about stuff that's clearly bugging him, but it also makes sense within the story. Like, it's not just a gratuitous of him shooting, you know, like where he'll do his stupid shooting stuff on, mm-hmm, like, that we don't need. Real when it adds to the angle. So him explaining why he's here, because he's a ratings guy, and you know, he's sick of being blamed for killing a company that was going down anyway, right? Like, stuff like that to me speaks more. And you know, Dusty, you know, I took your son who got fired and made him a star, you know, you should be thanking me, not haranguing me. Like, that stuff to me is actually like plays into what's going on. So it just feels a little bit more real than some of the other stuff where it's like him being a shoot guy just for shooting, which the Percy segment came closest to of the three tonight.
Do you think that the whole thing would be better if almost like Russo's, all his whole crew was like X Division guys? So he, it wasn't just like a young thing. It was like, this is a whole new style of wrestling I'm trying to implement.
Maybe. Hmm. I don't know. No, I think the young guy thing is good.
Yeah, and
because that was his thing
guys,
in WCW too, with the new blood.
Right, but
the older guys already know him well enough to not trust him, so I think the younger guys make the most sense.
Right, but the whole company here is young guys for the most part.
Yeah, but it's a style too that he's trying to go for, right? The X Division's part of that, but.
Well, Jenny, who do you want to see more of?
I like the Trinity and Cash pairing, and I'd like to see some more blood.
I want to see more of Trinity also. Who do you want to see less of?
Mike Sanders, please, and Jerry Lynn having to lose.
JT, less of?
Russo's black vest over the black shirt. always try to figure out whose side everyone's on. It dominates the program. That's one of the downsides of this type of feud. It's just constant. And fucking Big Bert Prentice's hat.
more, you know what I want to see more of too? Nikita Koloff. I want to know what's going on here.
Yeah.
What would 2002 JT be impressed with here?
Not impressed, but disappointed. I remembered Sanders being good, but nope.
2002 Jenny would feel...
I would feel like I wish I had April Hunter's body.
Fuck, me too. Never leave the house. All right. Well, anybody got a wild card for me?
Pussy Pringle. It made him look so fucking lame.
I would disagree. I don't know. I thought he looked badass.
No, he was like, oh, I'm going to give in and shake your hand. And then they beat him up. I was like, it isn't lame.
I think it's just part one of his long con.
Yeah, all right. We'll see.
Everybody wants to listen to the fat man. All right. Any imposters on this show?
Yes. Sex is the NWO.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Second-rate NWO. All right. What does the appearance tracker look like?
All right. Let's see. This was episode 27. So we had Eddie Marlin.
No, 28.
Nope, sorry. 28, you're right. We had Larry Zbysko, Mr. Wrestling 4, Dick Arpin, Conan, Big Bert Prentice, and Nikita Koloff.
Big night.
All right, before we do the scores, JT, what's going on in North-South Connection Podcast Network?
Lots is going on. Lots. Almost every day. Take you across the worlds of wrestling, some other pop culture touches there, some comic stuff. We have a great mix of hosts and topics across those spectrum. Wrestling, you can go into the 90s, we got stuff. We got stuff in this kind of forgotten early 2000s, whether it's TNA or even WWE, other those aggressive podcasts. We got stretch projects galore that we're hitting on, Aaron, through, you know, your show with the year that was, and as well as now entering the Rumble. And, you know, just consistently pumping out enjoyable evergreen content for you. Podbean.com/NorthSouthConnection. Or I'm sorry, no, NorthSouthConnection.podbean.com. We're on Facebook.com/NorthSouthConnection, Twitter at JTThePodGuy. For me, you can follow me and just get updates when all the newest shows hit. So I'm just really proud of the consistency. You know, we're almost a year and a half into the feed now, and just been humming along.
Jenny, tell me about your position.
All right. So on the Jenny position, I was lucky enough to do an interview with you, Aaron George.
That's right.
On an episode of Talk and Pop with Tim, which was awesome. We talked a lot about your acting career and learned a lot. That was a really fun episode. How did you feel about that appearance?
I loved it. I just think it's funny because I feel like as soon as you said we talked about your acting career and we learned a lot, it made it sound like the fucking lamest possible educational program.
No, it wasn't.
But no, it was a lot of fun. And I love you and I love Tim and it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun doing it.
We also have a new episode of You Heard About Pluto. Me and Matt Souza watched an episode of Wipeout Canada where people just fall down the whole time. So that's pretty fun.
Just Wipeout and in general.
Yes. But it's Canadians this time, so it's extra ridiculous. And there will be a new episode of Hot Tokes with me and Vanessa Sharp coming up soon as well. You can find all of that on my Twitter at Jenny Position and the Facebook page.
Go and support it. All right, what's the overall score of this thing for you guys?
So I thought this was an above-average show. I've talked about it all night. I thought it was one of the more enjoyable ones lately. Thought the Russo stuff was all pretty good. I liked Zabisco. I thought Dusty was good. So I went 6.5, and it was worth the buy for me.
So I think that I liked the promos and the angles and stuff like way more than the matches. I think I was like lower on most of the matches than you guys. So it was kind of up and down for me. I'm going to give it a 5.5 and worth it.
I'm at a 6. It was fine. All right, let's power rank these guys and get out of here.
All right. We're going to have some shakeups, I think, looking at this last one. So we had off the last episode, we had America's Most Wanted at number 1, Amazing Red at 2, who's not even here, Siaki at 3, AJ Styles at 4, Kid Cash 5, Jerry Lynn 6, New Church 7, Jared 8, Triple X 9, and Jason Cross 10. So we definitely got some changes to make. I'm fine leaving AMW 1.
Sure.
Would you want to move Red down?
I think so.
Yes.
Okay.
Not even on the show.
Would you want to move AJ above Siaki?
I wouldn't, I don't think.
No.
So with Siaki going to 2?
Sure, yeah, that makes sense.
And leave AJ at 3?
Yeah. Maybe we should put Triple X up.
What, would you put Kid Cash at 4?
I think I'd have Triple X ahead of Kid Cash.
Yeah.
Alright, so you're going to bump them all the way up?
I think so.
9, okay. Then Cash, you want to keep Lynn?
Yeah, they're fine.
Church?
I feel like you need to bump them.
I'd rather bump Jason Cross than the Church.
Well, yeah, Cross is definitely going.
Yeah.
Is there anyone new that we don't have on here? Do we want to put Russo on?
No.
Ooh, I would support that.
Really? Oh, fuck. All right.
I think he's worth the 10th spot this week. I thought he was good this week.
What about Dusty?
Yeah, I was going to say Dusty or...
Today.
No.
Let's put Dusty at 9. So the question is, are we dropping Red from 2 off? We can't do that, right? Church? Bump the Church or Jarrett? Actually, Jarrett kind of sucked tonight.
Yeah, Jarrett was annoying.
Church, probably.
But Church has a lot of good stuff in the tank.
Right. All right, let's do that. So let's have AMW is number 1, Sunny Siaki 2, AJ Styles 3, Triple X 4, Kid Cash 5, Jerry Lynn 6, Amazing Red 7, New Church 8, and then Dusty Rose 9 and Vince Russo 10.
I'm not on board with Vince Russo, but yeah.
Nah, he was fine. So.
So you say.
That's right, Dene.
Yeah, you're still the one I run to, the one I so glad we made it. Look how far.